Who Are You, the ILTA podcast that aims to explore how industry leaders in e-discovery and litigation support got to where they are today in their careers. My name is Jared Michael Casalia. I'm the president and founder of True Staffing Partners, and we are dedicated exclusively to the staffing and career management of e-discovery and litigation support professionals. I am very excited to be here today with Mr. James Beaker, the National Lit Support Manager for Baker Hostetler, who is a good friend and an amazing professional. James, welcome.
Thanks, sir.
Tell us who you are, where you work, and what you do.
My name is James Beaker. I am the Senior Manager of Litigation Services at Baker Hostetler, and I kind of do, I think as most of us do, a little bit of everything. We have a group of around 20 people around the country who support our litigation teams from the onset of litigation through trial.
Fantastic. And you've had quite a journey in e-discovery and litigation support, so tell us how you first fell into it and how you knew this would be a career path for you.
I started when I first started practicing law about 9 years ago, at a small firm here in New York. And basically, it was a small firm with less than 20 attorneys, and we were working on some rather large litigation. And being one of the younger associates and semi-technologically savvy compared to the equity partners, they looked to me to figure out how we were going to review and manage evidence. And at the time, I had no idea what I was doing or how to do it, but it was put on me to figure it out. So that was my first delve into e-discovery and litigation services, because we obviously did not have that type of support at our firm at that time. So while I was practicing and working on these cases, I had to learn the technology and be the on-the-grounds person who would not only train the equity partners on how to use it or manage the doc review teams we'd have come in and review the documents and figure out workflows and things like that. It was kind of on the grounds running. I did that while I was litigating and dealing with depositions and thinking things through on the best way to be most cost-effective for the partners and to show my value to the firm. And so as I kept growing in my career and working on more and more mass litigation, they kept relying on me more and more to both deal with everything from productions outgoing and incoming and selections of technologies and running the doc review teams and so on and so forth, that I kind of fell in love with that. And as I started growing in my career, they started wanting me to do less of that, and we started vending more of it out. And I started writing more and more briefs. And as I started doing that more and more and being called more into the actual practice, I was thinking about how much I actually loved the other part of my career that I was working on, which was the litigation support arena and not the actual legal arena. Even though they both worked really well together, and I couldn't have learned one without, you know, the other, they both helped me grow in my career. So as I kept going, I was like, I don't want to keep doing this. I want to actually start growing in litigation support rather than as a litigator. So I made a decision after practicing for about 5 years as I started moving. I needed to move farther into litigation support services, and so I took a career move and took a job as a consultant at a firm here in New York, a e-discovery firm, and worked with them, and they kind of trained me a little bit more on the technological side. Sorry about that. Cut that out. Technological side. And I also grew with my project management skills, just because I'd already done so much there on how I tracked things and done things within our firm, that it was a natural fit, and it helped me to grow more into litigation services, since I had more of a tool side and project management side, but not the technological side of how the data actually got there and how we analyze load files and so on and so forth. I understood that side, but I didn't know how to actually do it myself. And so
we hear a lot. I think there are a lot of attorneys out there who find themselves potentially practicing or, you know, working on large-scale document reviews and moving up into more team lead document review management style positions, that find themselves saying, wait, you know, I went to law school and I thought I would be on a partner track. I thought I'd be a senior associate at a big law firm. They kind of fall in love with this really dense, complicated, and sounds like challenging for what maybe typically wouldn't have been thought of as really challenging and rewarding to attorneys.
Exactly. Yeah, every mind is different. So, I mean, to me, if you think about it, so to me, if you look at what I love, is I love the constant, ever-changing challenges. And that is, you know, it changes from minute to minute in litigation services, and every case and every even motion that you're dealing with, and every different, you know, request for production, every single thing you're dealing with is a constant new challenge of how can we do this better, how can we do this most efficiently, and how can we, you know, better serve our clients.
So at a time you were at this vendor, there came another point later in your career, several years later, where you knew you needed to return back to the law firm side of things. So tell us a little bit about that and that transition, and why you made that transition.
Well, I didn't want to be siloed, as I call it. That's what I always call it in when I'm relating things to partners in our firm. I wanted to grow further, and I needed to have a larger spectrum of things to work on. And when you're in with a vendor or so on and so forth, when you're out there in a consulting firm, you're limited on what you're doing based on what your specialty is. And at that time, mine was dealing with large-scale reviews and the complexities around those and how to do it more efficiently and what technology to use, so on and so forth. But I wanted to know what I would do from the onset, from the second that a client anticipated litigation, and all the way through the end of trial. And so I knew that the only way I would get that experience level that it was to make a move in-house into a law firm and start working on those matters, and to start going in on the ground up and working my way through it. And so that was my next move.
And from there, tell us how you kind of organically moved into a management role. That's a trajectory that so many people who have gone from being a technical analyst or a project manager, or in your case, kind of the reciprocal of that. How do we get into management, and how did that happen for you over at Baker Hostetler?
I think it goes it grows organically. It takes time, and every firm is different and how it works. But for me, the key for my growth was honestly just being willing to build those relationships and do everything you needed to do to keep a team happy and to learn everything that you need to do. I always say that a good manager, and I truly believe this, a really good manager is somebody who can do everything themselves, and then therefore they can set proper expectations with the legal teams, with the people that they're supporting, and with their staff, as well as also be innovative and think of different ways to do things that maybe somebody else at a junior level wouldn't. So to me, I think the way I worked into this position and it worked was because I started at a firm and I had to learn load files from the very beginning. I mean, I knew how to open them, but I didn't know how to build my own. I didn't know how to process data, and I didn't understand all of those. I did that from the ground up there, and so although I had a higher level knowledge set of review strategies and dealing with the attorneys, I didn't know how to do it from the scratch. And so once I did that at that firm and kept moving and growing, and then I came to Baker, since I had that, as I call it, the foundational knowledge of how to handle and manage data itself and how to process it and do the technological side, and I had built up my knowledge of litigation itself, the rules of discovery, and how to manage reviews and so on and so forth, it kind of, as we started dealing with more and more complex projects and jobs, my skill set built and grew, and I came to a point where it naturally flowed that when the position opened, you know, I had built up a support base based on a whole bunch of partners who now trusted me because I've worked with them, and I am always one of those people who's trying to find an innovative way to do things and try to, you know, always be humble and understand the frustrations they're going through and what they're trying to get to their end point. And by building them, the relationships with them and having them trust me, and then also having the foundational knowledge to both hire team members. So as we were working with teams and we kept hiring, getting busier and busier and having to hire support, training them on the tools we have had and also that we were buying and building out in the firm as well as strategizing, it just became a natural fit to move into that position when it became available.
Now, you've worked at one of the biggest defense firms in the country and now are working on one of the largest, if not the largest, plaintiffs litigation in the history of the country. How has working on the plaintiff's side been different or similar experience to working on the defense side of things?
Well, I would caution to say that this isn't a standard plaintiff's case, so it's very it's a little different here. I'd say from my years at a smaller plaintiff's firm working on large litigation, the difference is that I found, and it's been excellent for me, I think, in my career path and in growth, is that when you're looking at data on a plaintiff's side and you're trying to help your legal teams, it's generally that you're producing a very small amount of data, so you're not actually dealing with a ton of processing and a ton of review on your production side. It's actually the analytics of analyzing the data for getting prepping for trial and getting ready for depositions. So you're actually more of a, in the plaintiff side, I found that you work more on the side of saying, how can we structure searches, what tools can we use out there to take this data and to build it based on topics, or to do predictive coding, or to do find ways to minimize the onslaught of data that you get from the defense side. Now, on the defense side, I find that it's because the plaintiffs produce so little, it's the opposite. You're generally reviewing all of your clients' data, and you've got to do it in the most cost-effective way possible and look at the technologies out there and find the best way to process it and the best way to collect it. So, you know, you got to collect it, process it, and then review it, and then produce it. And finding the ways, the best technology, the best vendors, the best review teams out there, and figuring out the strategies that we're going to use to do that is where I see the defense side. And that I like that I have both those sides. And because I can go in, and even though we may be trying to get through the client's data on a large case, a large corporation's data, finding innovative ways to do that, I can think of how we would do it on a review as well, to get ready for depositions, to think about trial, all that sort of stuff. And I can think about it in advance because I've seen both sides of how you would do the reviews and what you're caring about. And we can think about it from the onset instead of thinking about it after the productions are already out the door and then saying, okay, now what's the next phase of litigation? And going back and then starting there.
So when you look back and kind of take the last 10 years that you've been working in the space, what do you think the most challenging part of being a professional in this industry is?
I think the most challenging thing is the ever-changing spectrum of not only the state of the law, but also the state of technology and the resources and savvy of the client. You always want to be ahead ahead of the next trend, and be that person who has the knowledge and has the experience to go and show your benefit to your clients. And your clients may be an outside company that you're representing, or the partners in your firm. You know, they're all clients that we support and serve. And so I think the staying on top of that and always being somebody who is constantly growing in your career is a difficult thing to do, because, you know, when you're working all the time, it's hard to be looking at articles and seeing where judges are pointing, you know, decisions and what's going on there. So I think that's a challenging part of your job, and then just keeping that within your team as well, because, you know, it isn't the litigation support manager who's always talking to the clients. The associates are constantly learning from team members. The partners are constantly learning from team members. So keeping your team abreast of all the new changes, not only within the law, but within technology, so we're constantly a value-added resource to the firm and to a client.
Excellent. James, any advice to our listeners who are out there right now building and growing their careers in e-discovery?
I would say that the best thing for me has always been, and I, as I said, is to try to always be able to do it yourself. So try not to get compartmentalized. And even when you do, I mean, there's days where I do nothing besides processing, or there's days where I do nothing besides doc review strategy and things like that. And there might be a month, depending on the case flows. But as you do that, just constantly always try to build yourself within the full EDRM model spectrum, and constantly be trying to learn, even on your own time, the things that are out there that are innovative and the things that are going on, even on things you may not be working on, because it'll help you so much in consulting and in being that person who, when a partner asks for something, you're going to be able to say, oh, I remember that, you know, this is the new trend right now, or the judge wrote about this. Let's look at this for this type of data set that you have, or, you know, anything like that. So I just say, keep your spectrum broad, even if right now what you're working on is somewhat narrow. Don't ever get caught in there. And as you're growing towards a manager, always be the person, to me, which is key, is always be able to do it yourself. And if you don't have to do it every day yourself, but you want to be able to do that, because the point is that you're going to be able to find, with that broad stretch of knowledge, a better way to do it that somebody that you're relying on may not be able to do it, and you're going to be able to be that team member who's supportive and also the person who's helping a vendor, which I've done a few times, find a better way to do it even for my clients. So when you're outsourcing larger projects, saying, how are you doing this? What are your processes? You know, there's a better way to do it. Let's do this. So I think that that's key, being humble and innovative and just keep learning and growing as you go, and don't get compartmentalized. Always be learning what's out there and the full spectrum of the EDRM model.
Good advice. James, as always, I completely appreciate your time and love your perspective, and thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us and our listeners.
Thanks, Jared.